This morning in our study of the Word of God, we looked at the first piece of the armor of God that He has provided for us to be able to stand firm against the strategies of Satan and his forces of evil. As we learned in this list of armor, Paul gives us really two pieces of armor that are related to the truth of the Word of God. The first is the belt of truth, which is in reality the totality of the Word of God. It's the reservoir of the truth of the Word of God. The second that he mentions comes in the final final part of verse 17, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, then, is the use of the specific verses out of the reservoir of that belt of truth. And so at the moment of salvation, the truth of the Word of God becomes the mentality and the mindset of the true follower of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit enables us instantly to understand to some degree. It will grow as we mature in the faith, but He enables us to understand to some degree the Word of God. He illumines the Word of God so that we're able to comprehend that Word. And that Word then becomes the mentality and the mindset of the true follower of Jesus Christ. And as we said, we are always to be growing in our understanding of the Word of God, making that belt of truth as strong as we possibly can. And so as true followers of Jesus Christ, we understand and we accept that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, all authoritative, all sufficient Word of God. It's supernatural. It's not just another book. It becomes the divine guide for our thinking and our actions. What it says we are to do. And in obeying and submitting to it, there is great reward. Now, the key point in this morning's sermon is the importance of this piece of armor called the belt of truth. We learned that the belt of truth is the fundamental piece of our armor that every other piece of armor is connected to and dependent upon. To say it another way, the belt of truth is the piece of armor that gives us the information we need to be able to successfully stand firm against the strategies of Satan and his evil forces. This evening, in the time we have together before the Lord's table, I want to remind you of just some of the benefits of living a life that is centered and grounded on the truth of the Word of God. I'm not certain where I got this list from. I have several of these in a folder on my computer talking about the benefits of the Word of God. But I want to give you 15 benefits of being grounded on the Word of God. Or to say it another way, 15 benefits of having that belt of truth tightly wrapped around your waist. Number one. The Word of God gives assurance of your salvation. It gives objective proof and subjective affirmation of your salvation. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. It's not just hearing anything, it's the Word of Christ. Saving faith comes from hearing the message about Christ, the unadulterated gospel message that's codified in the Scripture. It is special revelation. You'll remember general revelation tells you about God. It gives you the information that you can know about God, but it doesn't tell you how you can know God personally. Special revelation helps you to understand the issues, the aspects of the gospel, and what one must do to be saved from the penalty of their sin. Without the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, Scripture tells us, you could not know for certain if you are saved through faith in Christ alone. We learn those details in the Word of God. Speculation about such things would be endless, and so we have the definitive answers to such issues in the Word of God. Secondly, the Word of God instructs us. It instructs us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all of Scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable. It's beneficial for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that, here's the reason, the man of God may be adequate, equipped, so that he'll know what he needs to know for every good work. It's the Word of God alone that contains all of the truth necessary for living a life for the honor and glory of God. It's our instruction manual. It tells us how to live. It's the Word of God that gives us the basis for understanding right from wrong. It's the Word of God that gives us the basis of the doctrine that we need to live righteously. There are other sources of truth in the world, sources of temporal truth, but only the Word of God gives us the eternal truth of God, and you can be certain of what pleases the Lord as you understand the Word of God. Number three, the Word of God guides us. Not only does it instruct us, it guides us. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Psalm 119:105, your word, the word of God, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And those words, commandment and teaching and discipline, lamp and light, those are all descriptions of the Word of God. Like a spotlight on a pitch dark night, the Word of God will keep you from stumbling down the path of life. And by submitting and obeying the Word of God, submitting to and obeying the Word of God, you can walk with certainty when you have learned and then applied what the Word of God tells you to do. The entire world stumbles around in darkness like a drunk blind man, hoping to find some avenue that they won't trip over. We, as true followers of Jesus Christ, have the Word of God. It guides us through this life. Number four, the Word of God counsels us. It counsels us. Psalm 119:98, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. They're truth. They're comprised of truth. Psalm 119:24, your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. We should always be reading the Word of God to seek to understand how it applies to our life. It counsels us constantly with biblical truth. It's up to us then to apply what we learn and understand. When we don't know what we should do, the principles of the Word of God give us the counsel we need to make biblical decisions. The principles found in the Word of God are unfailing, they're unchanging, they're always correcting us in every area of our life. I've said many times before, the Word of God may not address the specifics of a decision, but the Word of God will always give you the principles necessary to make a biblical decision, to make a decision that's pleasing to the Lord. I mean, you need to understand what an incredible source of comfort it is to be certain that the counsel we receive from the Word of God is the counsel of God Himself. It's not the opinion of man. It's the counsel of God Himself. Number five, the Word of God restores us when we failed to live up to our high calling in Christ. It restores us. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Literally, this verse means that the teaching of the Lord will turn back your soul. You're aimed in the wrong direction, it will aim you in the right direction. Say it another way, God's Word has the power to revive the inner man and strengthen you in times of despondency. People can have a tendency to become discouraged. Some have more of a tendency than others. Nevertheless, we all can become discouraged at points in time. It's the Word of God, when we're faithful to read it and hide it in our heart, that gives us the counsel we need to restore us back to that place where we have the peace that goes beyond comprehension. That counsel makes us wise by learning from our errant choices. As we hold our errant choices up against the Word of God, we can clearly see, oh, here's where I went wrong, here's where I went off the path, here's where I leaned on my own understanding. Number six, the Word of God is a source of warning. It's a source of warning. Psalm 19, verse 11, by them, by what? Well, the principles of the Word of God. By the principles of the Word of God, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. How often in life do we march down some path believing that we're doing what is right, only to find ourselves stuck in quicksand, in a position we didn't want to be in? But if we'd been faithful to hide the Word of God in our heart, we would have warning to keep us off of such paths. And so, more often than not, the problems we face in life are self-induced. They're directly related to our ignorance or willful disobedience to biblical principles. How many times in counseling sessions have I said, well, what's the Word of God say? What's the Bible say? Here's what you did. What does the Bible say about that? It's a source of warning. You've got to heed the warning. But it's a source of warning. To know Scripture intimately is to inform and bolster your confidence so that in times of temptation, you will be strong enough to do what is biblically correct. That's the whole idea of the belt of truth. We take all the aspects of our life in that tunic and we pull them up, cinch them tight, stick it under that belt of truth, and then that belt of truth governs everything we do. What we think, how we act, what we say. It's a source of warning. If you prioritize the time to fill your heart and mind with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will be faithful to use what you have placed in your heart to warn of danger and to convict when we go against what the Word of God tells us to do. You will be better equipped to pursue holiness if you have a consistent habit of pouring the Word of God into your heart and your mind. It's really so simple to understand. If you don't fill the car with gas, it's going to run out. You're not going to move anywhere. If the battery goes dead, the thing that needs the battery isn't going to function properly. If you are not pouring the Word of God into your life, you're going to end up weak. That's why we fall to temptation, because we've dropped that belt of truth. Such an important principle for us to understand. You will be better equipped to pursue holiness if you're faithful to fill your heart with the Word of God. I've said to you many times before, your mind and your heart is like a library with blank shelves. And the more you read the Word of God, the more you read the Word of God, the more you get input from the Word of God, those shelves get filled with biblical truth. And I can't count the number of times, even in counseling sessions and even in times when I've been preparing to speak or putting a sermon together, when God will bring to my mind a biblical principle that sometime in the past I've thought of or put in my heart, and the Holy Spirit will grab that off the shelf and bring it to my remembrance, and it fits perfectly. That's not my intelligence. That's not my memory. I don't have much of a memory. But that's the Holy Spirit at work in your life, taking the Word you've put in your heart, grabbing it off the shelf and bringing it to your remembrance. That's why we want to be faithful to fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God. Number 7, the Word of God nourishes us. Nourishes us. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it, here's why you need to long for it, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Well, he's talking to people who are saved. What he's saying is that our passionate pursuit of understanding the Word of God, and in understanding the Word of God, we understand the God of the Word, and in doing that, we understand more about salvation, or more specifically, who we are in Christ by virtue of what Christ has done for us. Peter here in 1 Peter 2:2 gives us the formula. No pun intended. He gives us the formula intended for growth. You can mark it down. There is no consistent growth without a consistent intake of biblical nourishment. It's not uncommon for us as we get older to go visit a doctor and have them say, hey, we need to do a blood test because something's out of order here. Your system's not functioning the way it should. There's depletion someplace. There's too much of something else someplace else. And so you do this blood test. Well, for true followers of Jesus Christ, if we are faithful to pour the Word of God into our hearts and into our minds, that will balance all those things out in terms of our spiritual life. It'll give us all the nourishment we need to have successful, prosperous, spiritual lives. This is what the faithful shepherd pours into his life so that he can equip the saints through the teaching of the Word so that they might be nourished with the pure milk of the Word. This is the primary responsibility of a biblically faithful shepherd. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, Paul instructing Timothy, his son in the faith, he writes this, in pointing out these things to the brethren, things they needed to do, things they should not be doing, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, here it is, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Don't forget what you've been taught. Don't neglect what you've been taught. Continue to pour that nourishment into your life, and the Holy Spirit will take it and use it as need be. That's what we do here at Grace. We teach the Word of God expositionally, verse by verse. And it's for my benefit. It's for your benefit. As I said this morning, you need to be faithful to be pouring the Word of God into your life so that you can discern biblical truth from error. You should instantly be able to hear a sermon and say, that's not right. Something's wrong there. Something's off. I'm hearing a man's opinion. I'm not hearing the Word of God. You want to get to the place where your discernment is biblical, where you can tell the good stuff from the marginal stuff. And you do that, as I said this morning, You've got to read the Word of God. You have to read it. Come up with a plan. There's hundreds of them. A plan for reading the Word of God. And you want to read it, not just so you can check the box off, but rather that you can become familiar with the tone of Scripture, the direction of Scripture, the intent of Scripture. And then again, as I said, the Spirit will take what you've poured into your life and draw it to your remembrance so that you can use it for His honor and glory. You pour the Word of God into your life and you begin to go down the wrong path, the Holy Spirit will take those verses that tell you, this is a warning, you're going down the wrong path, you need to pull up, you need to turn around, get off this path. Or, on those good deeds created beforehand for us to walk in, the Spirit will convict you, will reward you. The Holy Spirit will endorse what you're doing. It will encourage you along that path. So you know this is pleasing to the Lord. This is what the Lord would want me to do. Reading the Word of God. It begins with reading the Word of God. Then studying the Word of God. And by that I mean thinking about what you're reading. It does no good just to read it without thinking about it. What does it say? Why does it say this? How can I apply this to my life? How can my life change today by virtue of what I've learned in this verse I've just read? Studying the Word of God, learning the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, thinking about what you've read in the Word of God. And again, don't see this as some legalistic set-aside time where you do this. See this as a regular, ongoing pattern of your life. Read three verses. Meditate on that. That's better than doing nothing. That's better than the book collecting dust. You find a plan, go with the plan. But take some time to go beyond the plan. Get yourself a good study Bible that'll help you understand the elements that don't readily seem apparent in the text. Learning the Word of God, meditating on the Word, then reading books about the truth. Read good books about the truth. You have questions about who's a biblical author. 90% of the time, if they have a Bible concordance in the back of the book, you can know it's probably biblical. Look in the back of the book. If there's no scripture references listed, good possibility that's not a very biblical book because they haven't taken from the Word of God. That's not 100% accurate, but that's a good test of whether a book is biblical or not. And then you can always ask us. You can always ask us if what you're reading is good, if it's beneficial. But again, the more you fill your heart and mind with the Word of God, that will give you that discernment, which will help you to understand what's not good and what is good. I use commentaries each week in my preparation to preach, and some of them are outstanding. And then you'll come across something that's absolutely crazy. And you'll think, wow, he must have gone to lunch when he was writing this. He had a bad tuna fish sandwich, came back and wrote some craziness. Well, fortunately, after all these years, I can discern error from truth and know, okay, he's good here, 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 but this is crazy. And so we'll skip this part and go to back where he's on track again. You want to learn that discernment. Then, of course, you need to listen to sermons about the truth. Thousands of sermons on grace to you, taught by the finest Bible teacher of the last century plus. And then apply the truth to your life. Apply the truth to your life. So prioritize your biblical intake around ministers and ministries who feed you God's Word consistently. Here's number 8. The Word of God judges you righteously. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active. That's a great verse. That reminds you that thing in your hands is not just a book. It is active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrows. It's talking about getting into the tiniest little crevice in a joint. And it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's why you want to pour the Word of God into your heart. I want the Word of God to judge me before I make some big, massive public error. Fill your heart and mind with the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to bless you when you obey and to convict you when you disobey. And that's because the Word of God is supernatural. It's alive. It's living. It's ever active. What a privilege we have to have the Word of God in our hands. Don't take that for granted. Isaiah 55:11, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. He's talking about his word. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. You speak the Word of God, you think the Word of God, you preach the Word of God, you teach the Word of God. It will either encourage people, it will edify people, or it will convict people. And those are all within the purposes of God for the expression of the Word of God. The Word of God proclaimed always accomplishes the divine purposes of God. We tell this to our folks in discipleship evangelism all of the time. It's not the performance of your explanation of the gospel that leads people to Christ. It's the conviction of the truth that's expressed in your explanation of the gospel that the Holy Spirit uses to convict people. You might be person 823rd. The 823rd person who has spoken the truth to them, and this is the day of their salvation, and God will use that to draw them to Himself. It's not your performance. It's not your expertise. It's God using the Word of God to accomplish His purposes, either for blessing or instruction or conviction. Number 9, the Word of God is sanctifying. John 17:17, Jesus prayed to the Father concerning His true followers. We looked at this morning. Sanctify them, set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. As you know, the word sanctify means to set apart. It's used throughout Scripture, meaning a setting apart for God, a setting apart for biblical growth. One grows through dealing with the truth. And ultimate truth, eternal truth, comes only from knowing, believing, submitting to, and obeying the Word of God. Paul tells us how spiritual maturity is gained in the church, the body of Christ, Ephesians 5:26. That He, Christ, might sanctify her, that's the church, the body of Christ, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. It's how the Word of God is used in the church. True believers always hunger for the Word of God, because it's through the Word of God that they grow to spiritual maturity. Number 10. The Word of God frees us from the tyranny of sin and Satan. Boy, we forget this. We were slaves of Satan. Every unbeliever, every unredeemed person is a slave of Satan. They are a slave of Satan. They think they have free will. They do not have free will. They have free will to do what Satan ordains that they do. The unredeemed, they're slaves of Satan. For the true follower of Jesus Christ, we've become slaves of Jesus Christ. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Well, free from all kinds of things. Free from the tyranny of Satan and sin. Free from your worry. Free from your anxiety. Free from your depression. Free from your anger. Free from your lust. The truth will make you free. Specifically, free from the penalty of your sin. Believers hunger to be obedient to the word. The root word for disciples is mathetes. It means more than followers. The Greek root for that same word, we get the word math from. Mathetes. Math, it means that you'll have the ability to calculate the word of God and the will of God on a specific matter. The Word of God gives us the instruction we need to handle the attacks of Satan in a logical, biblical manner. True followers of Christ, they always want to know more about Christ. They always want to know more about God. They want to be obedient to Him. And they want to be able to discern and to calculate His way in their lives. Okay, here's what it says. Here's what I've got to deal with. How can I take what He said and use that in a way that He would be most pleased? Conversely, if one has no desire for learning the Word and being obedient to God, then one is fooling himself into believing that he's saved when the biblical evidence clearly indicates that he's not. 2 John 9. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, that means you understand, you believe, and you apply the teaching of Christ, that one does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. And so what are the results of the Word of God informing your life? Well, the truly redeemed have a deep-seated sense of freedom. Freedom from the weight of sin. How often we hear in a baptismal testimony that when God called me to Himself, I felt the weight of my sin lifted off of my shoulders. I didn't realize I was carrying that weight, but when God called me to Himself, instantly I felt this freedom. How ironic. The world, under the leadership of Satan, promotes the fact that Christians are legalistic. We have all these rules we have to follow, when in fact we're the free ones. We're free to do what is right. The world is not free to do what is right. Number 11, the Word of God will enrich us. Enrich us. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, not just dwell within you, but richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Even our singing, as we've learned before, is an expression of our worship to God. It's an expression of our instruction to one another as we're singing truth that we agree with, that we understand. One of the ways we edify one another is through our worship in song. That term richly dwell means extravagantly. We should be, just picture the football fan who has the jerseys and knows the stats and knows the players and doesn't ever miss a game and he's consumed with that team. That's how we're to be with the Word of God, because it's through the Word of God that we know the author of the Word of God. Word of Christ refers to the whole of Scripture, and so to the degree that the Word of God saturates and controls one's life is the degree that one will live enriched and overflowing with thankfulness to God, positively pouring the benefits of the Word of God into the lives of then others. From the overflow of what we've benefited from the Word of God, that leaks out, spreads out to all the people who God places around us. Number 12, the Word of God protects us. Psalm 119:11, your Word have I treasured in my heart. That's the best translation. You might know it as, your Word I have hid in my heart. It's treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. So how does growth in holiness, by minimizing sin, how does the Word enable us to grow in holiness by minimizing sin in our lives? Well, the answer, the key to overcoming sin, is to treasure God's Word in one's heart. I'll never forget Helen and I being in the Ukraine, early days of the wall falling and us being able to go in there. And we would go into villages where all the men were gone. Where's the men? There's no men in this village. Oh, they were all captured. They were taken to jail and they were all killed. Why? Well, because they were true followers of Jesus Christ. Well, how were you taught? Well, we couldn't have a preacher and we couldn't have a church, but they'd bring out a little scrap of paper. There was a segment of the Bible, some verses, and they'd treasured this. This is all they had. And this is what God used to develop a people who loved Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They treasured it. They absolutely treasured that scripture. D.L. Moody said this, either sin will keep you from this book or this book will keep you from sin. Amen. That's pretty good. Number 13, the Word of God strengthens us. Psalm 119:28, my soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me, here's the request, according to your Word. Strengthen me according to your Word. The result of sin is agony and guilt, broken relationships. The psalmist remedy, be strengthened by pouring the Word of God into your heart and into your mind. You can't sleep at night. Those issues that you've been wrestling with continue to pop into your mind. Best thing you can do is start quoting Scripture. Turn your little cell phone on and look at the Bible. Don't read the news. Look at the Bible. Fill your heart with the Word of God. That's the remedy for that weakness, for that discouragement. Number 14, the Word of God emboldens us. Psalm 119:23, even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. In other words, that has no bearing on my life. They can criticize me. They can kill me if they want. I'm going to focus on the Word of God. When our hearts and minds are filled with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes the Word and gives us the courage and the boldness to speak for God's glory and God's honor. God's honor and God's glory. How did those saints of God in days past, and even this still happens today, how is it that they can be martyred, burned to death, tortured to death while singing hymns by quoting Scripture? How is that? Well, obviously the Holy Spirit gives them a special strength for that unique period of time in their life. But also, it's through the Word of God that they have peace that goes beyond comprehension. It emboldens us. Gives us the courage, boldness to speak for God. You want to have courage to do what is right, no matter what the pressure is from others? Well, pour the Word of God into your heart and mind. Set your mind to please God rather than people. And then number 15, the Word of God stabilizes us. You want to be stable. You don't want to be unstable. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ and you're unstable, please don't tell people that you're a true follower of Jesus Christ. That's contradictory. We should be the most peaceful, stable people. Because it's not us, it's Christ in us. Psalm 1, verse 3, the true follower of God is founded on the Word of God, who is founded on the Word of God and who has the belt of truth firmly wrapped around him, will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. It's always watered, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. Why does the leaf wither? Because it's not getting the water. That's not the true follower of Jesus Christ. We've got a flood that we have. We just got to pour it into our hearts and our minds. Yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. And whatever it does, he prospers. Spiritually, he prospers. When Joshua was given the leadership of the nation of Israel to take them into the promised land, here are the instructions he was given. This is a classic, most wonderful passage of Scripture. This is the instructions. These are the instructions he was given for success and what God called him to do. And guess what? The equation is the same today, these many years later. Joshua 1, verse 8 and verse 9. This book of the law, the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, you're not to forget it, ever. But you shall meditate on it day and night. That's the whole of the day. That's the whole thing. The whole 24 hours. You should be constantly thinking biblical. Biblical thoughts. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. You want to submit, you want to obey the Word of God. For then, if you do that, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Not talking about earthly prosperous or earthly success. That stuff's all going to burn. That's all temporal stuff. That's not what it's talking about. Have I not commanded you, here's verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How's he with them? Because they've hidden his word in their hearts. Those two verses right there should be the prayer of our life concerning the word of God and its place in our lives. Obedience and submission to the Word of God always results in blessing, and it results in spiritual prosperity, and it results in biblical success. So 15 benefits of being grounded on the Word of God, having that belt of truth fastened tightly around our waists, holding all of our armor together. 15 benefits. The Word of God gives assurance of salvation. It instructs us, it guides us, it counsels us, it restores us when we fail to live up to our high calling in Christ. 6, the Word of God is a source of warning. It nourishes us, it judges you righteously, it's sanctifying, it frees us from the tyranny of sin and Satan. 11, it will enrich us, it protects us, it strengthens us, it emboldens us. And the Word of God stabilizes us. That's what being sober is all about. Elders are to be sober. It has nothing to do with drinking. It has to do with being stable, based on the Word of God alive and active in our lives. Well, Father, thank you for what we've been reminded of this night. These are all things we know. These are all principles we understand. And yet we confess, Father, we don't treasure your word as we should. We confess we can tend to take it for granted. I pray, Father, that we would learn to treasure Your Word, that we would treasure it in our hearts in such a way that it would leak out into every aspect of our lives, that our first thoughts would always be, what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God tell me to do? Father, we can know that when we're faithful to have that attitude, that mentality, that belt of truth fastened tightly around us, we can know that we will live a life that is pleasing to You. And so it's our prayer that we would be faithful to do just that. All these things, Lord, we pray in Your name. Amen.